This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to July's edition of Market Talk, where we aim to give you a brief rundown of what happened in markets last week, what's front of mind, and what's on the financial horizon. In this episode, we'll be looking at what's led to the rally in markets. We'll try and pick through the maze of corporate results to see what messaging we can unravel. And while no one wants to second guess what the Fed will be doing when it meets on Wednesday afternoon US time, we'll be looking at longer term policy implications there too. So on the call today is me, Francis Watson, content manager, and sharing with us his investment insights, Ben Bennett, head of investment strategy and research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you? Lots to get through. I know we haven't met for a couple of weeks, but really lots to get through. Shall we just kick off with something that I noticed, and I don't know how important it is, but the rally in German Bunds, quite extraordinary. I mean, what is that? Is that fears of recession fears, or is it safe haven status? Why is that, Ben?
Lots of bonds have been rallying, actually, not just German bonds. We've had US Treasury yields have been falling as well. So yeah, globally, there's been a decent period for bonds. And I think, it's the recession, it's the growth fears that's been driving this. And that's been a theme over the last few weeks. We've got some weaker sentiment indicators. Last week, we had some flash PMI sentiment indicators, which were weak. There was a specific German expectations indicator, which was very weak as well. And then you layer on that what's been happening with energy uncertainty, supply of natural gas, which is all in the headlines, of course. And yeah, I think people are reflecting whether or not central banks will have to hike quite as often as they had previously priced in. If they don't have to hike so much, then maybe yields fall a little bit. So that's been the case.
But against that background then, and, you know, sentiment surveys both from the US, actually quite surprisingly, and Europe, contracting. But was that 50 bips hike from the European Central Bank then, was that a bit of a surprise?
It was a surprise to some extent. They'd previously indicated that they were going to hike by 25 basis points. But in the meantime, we've had very high inflation. Inflation keeps on surprising to the upside, don't they? So central banks have got to get ahead of that. They hiked by more. The Federal Reserve is expected to hike, as you said, by 75 basis points, assuming that's the case, that they actually will do that. So central banks are hiking right now. I guess it's just looking ahead, having done those hikes right now with sentiments starting to roll over, looking ahead, maybe they won't have to hike quite so much, let's say, towards the end of the year. And that's the thing that's been leading to falling government bond yields, you know, further down the curve in 2, 5, 10 years' time. That's what's being priced in. But in the short term, we've definitely had pretty aggressive hikes. And we've also had the data rolling over. And it's not just sentiment surveys. Actually, we've had some parts of the global economy which are sensitive to interest rates have started to weaken as well. So, for example, the US housing market, we've had some weaker data around that in terms of building starts and in terms of housing data. So there are parts of the economy that are also actually starting to slow properly now.
And you mentioned housing data in the US, but of course we've had, no signs of any revival in the Chinese property market either, which seems to be flat on its back. And as I understand it, a bit of a buyer strike from some Chinese property owners. What is going on there, Ben?
That's right. So, I mean, I've been talking about this for a while in terms of the woes of the Chinese property developers who've had their credit squeezed. And you add to that COVID restrictions means that they've been selling fewer properties. And this is starting to spiral a little bit and to the point where if policymakers don't get it under control, don't try and prop up the market, then, you know, I'm getting sort of flashbacks of 2006, 2007 in the US. What's been happening recently is that those people who have bought a property off plan, so a couple of years ago, before the development has taken place, so they had to get a full mortgage for this property, give it to the property developer who then build the property. But the developer has been getting into trouble. They've been on quite a number of cases, they've stopped the development because they run out of cash. And then those people left with a big mortgage and no flat have said, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be paying our mortgage. They've been threatening as a group, you know, getting together as big groups, threatening not to pay those mortgages. And if they don't pay those mortgages, that starts to impact the bank. And you can see this, like I said, it's almost a spiral. It needs to be broken aggressively by policymakers. They need to get in. They need to help the developers finish those properties and I guess prop up confidence in the sector as a whole. It's quite dangerous, I'd say, at the minute.
You don't want to draw parallels with 2006-07 in the US, do you? Let's just turn to the here and now, because I know it's a really busy week for corporate results. You know, some people have commentated on the strength of the dollar hitting US overseas earners, but any high level thoughts at this stage for us, Ben? Mixed results, obviously, depending on sector, but what's your overall take so far?
Well, just to put it in the sort of market context before I talk about the results, I mean, I mentioned about this recession risk impacting bonds. Equities and credits have actually had a reasonable last few weeks, partly because of this relief, perhaps, that central banks won't have to be quite as aggressive with rate hikes, and also the fact that valuations got impacted so much earlier in the year. So equity valuations were very depressed. So we've had a little bit of a revival. So it's just the right moment, isn't it, for earnings to come out just as sentiment is improving a little bit.
Yeah.
The earnings season so far, backward looking, so looking at the second quarter numbers, you've had an average earnings season. Earnings have beaten expectations, as they always do, because that seems to be the plan of every single corporate to beat the expectations every quarter. They have been beating, and they've been beating by roughly an average amount. The overall S&P 500 so far is looking like earnings will be about 6% higher compared to this time last year. So again, that's totally fine. But remember, it's all about forward looking. We're starting to see the growth rollover. We have had some forward looking statements from big companies warning about potential softening of demand. This is going to be the key focus. And if our GDP forecasts come to fruition over the next year, where we're forecasting a mild recession in the US, we're forecasting that the Eurozone is very likely to be in recession, if not now, but certainly later in the year. If those come to fruition, then we will probably see earnings start to decline. This time next year, they'll be down, whatever, 15, 20%, something like that. So that's the problem, forward-looking. Right now, it's all okay, but yeah, that's...
Is that specifically 15 to 20% is what we're looking at?
Well, that's actually for the US, and that's whole economy profit. So, I mean, these numbers, you can bandy around all sorts of numbers, but that's for the US in particular, 15 to 20% whole economy.
You mentioned the US there. Let's just go from the US to Europe then, where, of course, Italian bonds have not been rallying on basically all the political upheaval there. I mean, it seems to me that the party that spotlighted is one with populist leanings. Would that be fair to say? How well would that sort of government, if it formed, would go down well with investors?
I think it's more the uncertainty. I mean, the politics, what parties get in power, what sort of coalition is formed. It's very unlikely that any single party would be able to form a government on its own. So it'd be coalitions. It's the uncertainty around who would be the prime minister, Investors don't like uncertainty. So when it all happened on the same day, didn't it? Last week, the ECB announced a package, a support program aimed in effect at Italy. But at the same time, the same day, the government collapsed. So Mario Draghi, the prime minister, resigned. And as you say, we've got an election. We've got all the uncertainty around that. We don't know whether or not policies will be put in place that the European Central Bank would be happy with in order to buy Italian government bonds, support the government bond market, or whether or not, you know, they would allow Italian government bonds to sell off even more in order to try and force the government into market-friendly policy. It's such a confusing situation. And as you say, as a result, Italian bonds have been weakening. I think there is a level, a yield level, where the European Central Bank would step in, notwithstanding any political uncertainty. They would just step in and support. But I guess we haven't reached that yet because they haven't been stepping in. So bonds could weaken a little bit more going forward, but they just wouldn't be allowed to collapse 100%. There would be some support there, I think.
Sure. I'm just thinking 10 years ago to the day, almost, the whatever it takes Mario Draghi speech. Yeah, interesting times. Now, of course, interesting times again this week, because we have the biggie with the Federal Reserve policy meeting on Wednesday, but 75 basis points hike expected.
Yeah, central bank guidance hasn't really been worth the paper it's written on in recent months. The Federal Reserve changed their mind last time, last minute, and also the European Central Bank, we talked about that, changed their mind last minute. But this time around, it does feel as though 75 basis points is what they've signaled, and there hasn't been any data to move them away from that. I think it's going to be interesting to hear what they believe will be the rate that is enough in order to stop inflation from going up too far. So in effect, they'll be talking about, you know, how many more hikes they might have to do for the rest of that this year. That'll be important. And whether or not they're concerned about the slowing in the economy. I mean, we also get the data will be out by the time people listen to this. So we'll get the answer, but we get second quarter GDP for the US this week as well. And there's a chance that we will have had two quarters of negative growth in a row, which a lot of people equate to a recession. It's not this time around, it's not a recession, because it's almost a fluke, having had such a strong end to last year, that we have, you know, two quarters of softening, but we have very strong labor markets. So it's not a traditional recession. And that's what the Federal Reserve is going to be looking for, labor markets, and whether that softens and how quickly it softens, for them to be able to pull back on their very hawkish rhetoric and rate hike cycle.
So is it fair to say then that we will get greater visibility as a result of this week than before, do you think?
It's all relative, isn't it? I think there's still going to be a bit of a fog. It's like I say, no one has got great visibility about some of these risks, let alone the central banks. So they can describe scenarios and what they think they will be doing, but at the end of the day, we're going to be so sensitive to natural gas supplies. We're going to be sensitive to Chinese COVID policy and what they're going to do with the property markets, politics in Italy. I mean, it's all sorts of stuff going on.
Risks really to the downside still, in your view?
Yeah, it's still a very difficult market. Again, the big positive is that valuations have corrected a significant amount, and therefore there are areas that are interesting and attractive. But yeah, on aggregate, overall risks are still to the downside.
OK, well, look, cheer us up with your number of the week, Ben. What is it and why?
I don't know if this is going to be too cheery. I've got 287%. Because I was looking at data, speaking about the Chinese property market, I was looking at how much debt China has created over the last few years, and their current non-financial sector, so not including the banks, so non-financial sectors, that's households, that's corporates, that's governments, added together, all their debt to GDP is 287%. That's doubled since 2009. You can see that China has used the last 12, 13 years to increase debt, to build infrastructure, to invest in properties. And it's been the policymakers looking at that ratio, getting worried, deciding to cap the amount of debt that has been created. That's been the trigger for some of the issues that we're talking about before, in terms of the property market now starting to roll over. They've got a big question that they need to answer. Do they want to continue to cap that number and risk a property market collapse? Or do they want to allow that to go up again and rescue things and allow debt to continue to increase? But debt can't continue to increase forever. That would be my big question mark, my big concern.
That is phenomenal. And if you'd asked me what is it, I would have said way less than that. So that's presumably just been creeping up over the years, because they didn't stimulate much in COVID, et cetera, did they? Yeah, phenomenal. On that phenomenal note, we'll end it there, Ben. But thank you so much. I know how busy you are. So thank you so much. And we'll speak soon. Thank you, Ben. Thank you to all our listeners.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com. Copyright 2021, Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, a licensed corporation, BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.